Before I get into the sermon proper today, I would like to take us through a short survey on the sermon series we've been going through this month. Since the start of March, if you haven't realized by now, Pastor Daniel has been focusing our church, our community, onto the importance of relationship. The relationships not just in our personal lives, but our relationship in our church community. At the start of the month, Pastor Daniel taught us that to be friends of God, to act as friends of God, we must love just as Christ loves us. Then we heard that sometimes, or rather all the time, to love those around us, we ourselves must be healed first of our inner hurts. We ourselves must experience that wonderful love of God. Pastor Joe then told us that love is not, as some writers put it, an emotion taking us over, but love is true love is shown in tangible works, in tangible deeds, in helping your fellow man and your neighbor. So, what's left? Today, I'm here to talk to us about how we are to love. And of course, as the title slide says up there, we are to love in the same way as God loves. We have heard the why we are to love. We have heard the what to do to love. Today, let us hear the how, the nature of our love. One of the most beautiful passages I find in the Bible about God's unfailing love is in Hosea 2:14-23. If you thought I was going to talk about 1 Corinthians 13, well, that's all right. But this passage here is actually, in my opinion, much more beautiful. Okay, if you have your Bibles with me, you can turn to Hosea 2:14-23 and read along with me. If not, you can follow me as I read through the passages. Hosea 2:14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me Baal. For I will take from your mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day, I will make a covenant for you with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make you lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. And the earth will answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer, Jezreel. Then I will sow you for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on you who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Do you know how I got my wife to be my girlfriend? Anyone interested in that story? People say yes, it's amazing. But too bad, if you're not interested, I'll say it anyway. Of course, I would say it's my charming personality, my winning smile, my witty intellect, and my clever speech. See, I see all of your convinced faces. Tell you what, I told this to Joey, her eyes roll backwards in a perpetual loop. But even though this be true, how I got my wife to get together with me in the first place is actually through durians. Yes. Turns out the stomach is not only the way to a man's heart, but certain specific women as well. So the story goes, I was interested in this pure, holy, beautiful, and perfect woman called Joey. I hope this is recorded. I'll play this over and over. And although I had all my aforementioned characteristics, I still did not know how to close the deal, you know, seal the deal, make it happen. So as I was pondering this deep and troubling dilemma, my sister, in the meantime, she left onto a durian expedition in Malaysia. And on the third day, she called back. She said, "Andrew, I have tasted and seen the most amazing durians on earth." And then she proceeded to talk to me about how miraculous these durians were. They put the durian in your mouth. Wow, the color of the rainbow all come out of your head. Wow, it's amazing. I was like, "Shana." I was very skeptical. So I, like Thomas said, unless I put my finger into the flesh of the durian and I take it out of the husk with my hand, surely I shall not believe you. So my sister, yearning to spread the good news of Malaysian durians, she practiced tangible love and wrapped it all up in a box. Of course, she also hoped to make me eat my words in a sandwich, but she brought it home, and suffice to say, when I tasted it, when I put that wonderful durian to my lips, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit came down upon my tongue, and I proceeded to violently seize the kingdom of, I mean the durian seeds, and stuff as many as I could into my mouth. In the midst of my feasting, however, a still and quiet voice came into my mind, and it said, "I bet Joey would love this." So I was so happy. My problem solved, right? I was looking at the durian. I was like, I was so proud of myself. I was like, "Andrew, you're such a romantic guy." But not half a second later, I was like, No! Why did you have to say that?" I'm pretty sure it's the Holy Spirit, but sometimes you're not happy to hear what you say, right? I'm like, "No, why you say that? Now I cannot pretend that I forgot all about her and eat everything. Now I have to share with her. Now I have the means to pursue her, but I want it." So I was struggling with myself, and then I finally said, no, strike while the iron is hot. So I kept the durians, and I decided to invite her over on Monday to taste and see of my goodness. Right? And suffice to say, praise the Lord, and with all his grace, she is now my wife. Right? So, that is the story of how I pursued and sealed the love of my wife in the creamy goodness of Malaysian durians. So you may be asking, how is this story relevant to our passage today? Well, it is relevant because it talks about pursuing love, or the love that pursues another. And in Hosea 2, verse 14 to 15, it talks about the great pursuing love of God. God's love pursues. Hosea 2, verse 14, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her." In Hebrew, it's actually, "I will speak lovingly, compassionately, or kindness to her heart. I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt." Is a passage of first love, first and beautiful love. When Hosea writes this, of course, "I" refers to God or Yahweh, and "her" is his people, Israel. Of course, that is where my story and Hosea's passage sort of stop being the same. It's where they differ. Because unlike me, God was committing himself to pursue, always pursue, or and has always pursued this person, his wife, in his people. But this person was not pure, was not holy, was not beautiful in all her ways. Instead, his people were an unfaithful and adulterous people. They cheated on God many, many times. And in Hosea verse 2:13, we sense God's heartbreak when he speaks through the prophet in the second part of the verse saying, "She, Israel, decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers. But me, she forgot," says the Lord. It can be easy for us to give up something or to save for something or to put in all our efforts to getting something better in return, isn't it? Some of us, we save up all our money, we save up our effort, we save up our phone contract so we can get a new phone, a new sparkling, nice phone, right? But what if when we receive that phone, you know, not only is it scuffed up a bit, but you put it in your pocket and it explodes? Wow, how does that make you feel? You pursue it with all your heart, you pursue it with all your means, and then it blows up in your pocket and gives you third-degree burns. In Hosea, we see God pursuing a disloyal, hurtful, and unfaithful wife, even though he is heartbroken by her betrayal. Would you do the same? Could you bring yourself to lovingly pursue someone who always lies about you, someone who is mean to you or just plain evil to you for no good reason? Could you love someone who always gossips, kisses you to your face, but stab you in your back? Could you lovingly pursue such a person? Even if the answer is yes, we would at least think twice, wouldn't we? Maybe you think 10 more times after that. God's love, however, pursues regardless. It is not whether you are worthy of love. In fact, it's almost not about how lovely you are at all. It is not about how you scored in your exams. It's not how well-liked you are with your friends and colleagues. It is not what your boss thinks, or even if you think that you deserve something worse or something better. It's not about that. God pursues you because God himself, he loves you, and he is love. God's pursuing love is more about who he is than who we are. God's love for us is that pursuing love. He loves us, not to force us into loving him. It's not love me or else, you know. His love does not coerce. Instead, his love pursues us to convince us that he alone is worthy of our love. His love pursues us that we would willingly turn from our sin, humble ourselves, and seek his face. And as Hosea 2:16 says, and we should answer to him, "My husband, my beloved one." God's love pursues regardless of our unfaithfulness or even his own pain. Have you ever done something so wrong that it makes you feel like you could never go back to the way it was before? Let me tell you this. Even while you were still sinning, even while you were in the midst of doing that wrong thing, God was pursuing your heart. God was chasing after you. His love was running after you. And just as he loves you then, just as he loved you then, he always will. Well, the pursuing love of God sounds so swell. Sounds so good, right? It's almost too good to be true. It's almost like a fairy tale kind of love. But brothers and sisters, in fairy tales, this actually would be where the story ends. In Cinderella, Rapunzel, Sleeping Beauty, Shrek, Frozen, Tangled, getting lost there. Right, in all of these fairy tales, where does the story end? when the pursuit ends, when the adventure is complete, then what happens? They live happily ever after, correct? Yeah, we all know that phrase. God's love, however, doesn't stop after the pursuit. God's love promises us, His beloved, a future and a hope. The promises of God's love, in fact, go beyond not just, you know, the brokenness of the past, but even something greater than what was before, what it was like before. Right? The promises of God's love don't stop at restitution. They don't stop at just paying what you owe. They go beyond that to a total and complete renewal of not only our lives and our loves, but the whole world. From verse 17 to 23, we start to hear just outrageous promises that God in His love gives, not to His new wife, not to His fresh wife, but His adulterous wife. He starts promising these insane promises. It's like the little boy, you know, he run up to the girl he liked and start telling her, start over-promising things. You know, always under-promise, over-deliver, right? But he start over-promising things. He'll say, I would fly you to the moon and let you play among the stars. Whoa, sorry, that's another song. Right, it's so insane. Okay, how outrageous are these promises? Let me summarize quickly. In verse 17, God promises that we, His people, we will be so in love with Him, we will perfectly be able to love Him back, only calling to Him alone. We will not call to Citibank, we will not call to AIA, we won't even call Deliveroo. We will only call on the name of Jesus. We will only depend on Him for what we need. In verse 18, God's love promises that God Himself will covenant with all of creation on our behalf. He'll covenant with the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the creeping things of the ground, that they will no longer harm us. And not only that, He'll take the tools of our destruction, the tools of war, and He'll shatter them and cast them away from the earth so that we may lie intimately, lovingly, and in full security with God. In verse 19 to 20, God promises three times over, He says that He will marry us, marry Himself to us, inseparably bind Himself to us in righteousness, in justice, in covenant mercy, in covenant loyalties, in mercies, and in faithfulness. And finally, in verse 21 to 23, God's love promises the audacious. God's love promises to always bless and never again curse. God's love, in verses 21 to 23, He promises to roll back the curse of Adam in Genesis 3, that no longer will our works feel meaningless, purposeless. No longer will you work so hard and then meet with utter fruitlessness. But all your work, every bit of your effort will have meaning in the kingdom of God, will be purposed towards love, and will give you joy. God, in this promise, He promises to claim all of us, every one of us. We who were previously only fit for punishment, previously unworthy of mercy, previously enemies of God, in His love, God promises to be ours forever. God promises. God pursues us so we can enter into His promises. God pursues us because He wants to bless us with the fullness of His goodness. When I was little, I was just like any other boy, except for one thing. Since I was old enough to remember, I had a transgender mindset. That is, I felt that I'd much rather have been born a girl. The story is too long to recount here, so I'll leave out practically all the details. Suffice to say, God pursued me for 17 years. And eventually, I came to love Him. Just as verse 17 says, just as the songs we sang earlier today, I came to love him more than my own desires, pretty much more than any one thing that I know. God pursued me, and now here I stand in his promises. The promises of God's love are precisely the reason that God will always and has always pursued us. When we run away from him after having betrayed him, when we spit on him, mocked, belittled, and finally killed him, when we run and hide in the bushes, he searches for us. And having found us, our God stretches out his arms to us and says, "Come, my beloved one, the promises of my love yet await you." God's love pursues us, but not so that he can lord it over our lives. God's love does not pursue us for his own ego or his self-aggrandizing glory. God's love pursues us so we can enter into his promises. The love of God, church, finds its fulfillment not in the thrill of the chase, but in the fullness of his grace. We have heard a lot about God's love that pursues and brings his promise. But there is one cardinal truth that comes along with all of this. And that is this. God always, always shows his love through people. God's love is always, ever shown in person. In the passage we read today, we have been hearing Hosea talk about God's love to us, but at the same time, immediately after our passage, in the next chapter, God commands Hosea to practice what he preaches. So, how, right? Let's give a short introduction to who the prophet is. The prophet Hosea was a married man. He, under the command of God, married a prostitute named Gomer. And they raised their family together. Two boys and one girl. The boys they named Jezreel and Lo-Ami. The girl they named Lo-Ruhamah. After some time though, Gomer abandoned her family. She abandoned Hosea, children and all, and ran off with another man. Hosea's wife fell into adultery. How do you think Hosea felt? It is the depth of betrayal, isn't it? Someone whom you love, someone who you place your trust with, someone who you've created memories with, building a family, suddenly just guts your whole world, leaves you. What do you think he should have done? Even Jesus says adultery is reason for divorce. Right? And in the Mosaic law, you can just give a letter to your wife and say, "Okay, thank you very much for your service." Fired. Right? And this is grounds for it. Not only that, he's a prophet. And so a prophet should uphold the laws of God, right? We all know what the law in Deuteronomy states is the consequence of adultery. Hosea should, in all right, go pursue Gomer, find her and the adulterer that is with her, take them outside the city, witness against them, and get them stoned to death. He should be the first one to throw the stone at them. What would you do in Hosea's position? Would you divorce her? Would you follow the law? Or would you pursue her? Would you pursue the one who betrayed you? So what happens next? Just as we have heard how God pursues us through his pain, just as how God promises to bless and not to curse, God commands Hosea to show that very same love to Gomer. In Hosea 3:3, the prophet actually finds his wife. He he pursues her, finds her with her lover, and buys her back from that man. He buys her back. He pays money and buys her back from that man. He brings her back home, and Hosea 3:3 says, "And I said to her," this is now Hosea, "you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you." Hosea showed the pursuing love of God in person to his wife. Hosea was a recipient of God's pursuing and promising love, not only for himself, but for all of Israel. Right? Upon receiving it, he was commanded to show it, not just in words or high-flung ideas, but to show it in his person. Hosea, I would say, was able to turn and pursue his wife, pursue her through his hurt and through her deep betrayal. He was able to do that because he realized that he himself and all of Israel with him, they needed that sort of love from God. He placed himself in his wife's shoes and he said, "Let me be the one to show her God's love." God's love that pursues and promises is neither a fairy tale nor just some beautiful ideals. God's love must always, ever be shown in person. This pattern of God's love shown in person is not unique to Hosea nor to all of history. Throughout the salvation history of God's people, every person touched with God's love has shown this sort of love. From Abraham to Moses, from David to Jeremiah, from Nehemiah to John the Baptist, every one of them showed the love, God's pursuing and promising love to those around them. But of course, the person who revealed once and for all that God's love must always be shown in person is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. In Jesus Christ, God became a human person to show all the world what it means for love to pursue and promise us blessing. Jesus came down from heaven to pursue us through his person and to bring us into the resurrection promises of God's love. What the person of Jesus means for us here today is that the love of God, the pursuing love of God with all his promises, must in turn be personified in us, be shown in person through us, and be lived out by us to all the world. So how can you show God's love that pursues and promises? Well, Pastor Daniel and Pastor Joseph have already spoken to us at length about this. We are to love each other as we have received the love from God, and to love each other not just in word but in deed, to love in tangible ways. To say any more to this will risk beating a dead horse, so the only thing I will add is to give this love that you have received in the same measure that you have. In Matthew 10, verses 5 to 8, in verses 8 actually, verse 8, the evangelist says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons." Okay, that's quite demanding, right? That's quite demanding. And hopefully we will all eventually do that. But the kicker is here. Freely you have received, freely give. What blessings do you have in your life? Have you enjoyed the blessing of good parents that love you and persist with you? Do you have friends who will stick with you through thick and thin? Have you experienced the care of your teachers, your mentors, your pastors, those around you? I'm sure many of us here have received the blessings of God's promises. Bring those blessings, I would say. I encourage all of us here, bring those blessings to the lives of others. I'm also sure many of us here have encountered the overwhelming and overpowering, that wonderful love of God that pursues us regardless of how bad we've been or whatever injustices we have suffered. To that I would say, freely you have received, so freely give. Church family, in this season leading up to Good Friday and Easter, it is appropriate for us to remember our God's love for us. When we had decided to follow Christ, we were deciding at the same time to embark on a road, embark on a journey with our Lord and with each other. Church, if we would follow this road fully, if we would follow it to its end, we would build each other into a person like Jesus Christ, a person that not only pursues others lovingly, but that brings the promises of God's love into the life of those around us and to all the world. As we remember our oath, as we decided to be baptized in our faith, we were expressing our hope that we would become people that show the pursuing and promising love of God to all, even those who would not be able or cannot love us back in that same measure. So, to all of us here, do you want to become a person who can show the pursuing love of God and bring the promises of God into the lives of those around you? At this time, I want all of us to close our eyes and bow our heads. I ask again, do you want to be that person whom God uses to pursue His promises? I want you to take some time, count the cost. Search your heart. If that is you, I want you to raise your hand. If that is you, I would like you to raise your hand and show, as a response to God's love in your life, that you would bring His promises into the world. I see those hands. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Lastly, if you have never experienced the perfect, pursuing, overwhelming, unimaginable love of God, whether you've been a Christian a long time, or whether you're not even a Christian now, I want to tell you, God has never ceased to love you. He has always been and always will be pursuing your heart. God does not care if you think you are unworthy or if you feel you are broken beyond repair. God's love is still pursuing you. If you would today, call on His name. And I tell you, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, He will come, show you His love, and be with you forever. If today you would like to meet the God whose love never ceases to pursue, I want you to raise your hand. You can raise your hand as a response to God. Thank you. You can put those hands down.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the unrelenting, amazing love which you promise and which you always practice to us. I pray, Lord, that you give us that same love. You give us that compelling love. The love that compels us to take the promises you have given and make those promises come true for those around us, to be your promise to the world. Give us courage, O Lord. It is difficult. But may we love those, may we freely give to those around us as we have received. And Lord, I pray for those seeking your love, for those seeking you, O Lord, that you would make yourself present in their life, make your love overwhelm their heart, overcome their mind. May they praise you with their lips, and may they praise you forever in your love. Grant them your grace, as you have granted so many of us here today. May you fill our hearts with love, and may you, Lord, bring us to yourself as you have promised. Thank you, Lord, for your great and amazing grace. May you always allow us to dwell in your loving kindness. This we pray in your Son's most precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us rise to sing the closing song, "Here is Love."
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When a prince of life or ransom shed for us his precious blood. Love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten through all his eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten through our past eternal days.
Church, if you raised your hand just now, I will encourage you to come to the front and receive prayer after service. Or turn to your friend, talk to your friend, and tell them about your decision. But here we have, of course, come to the end of the service. Let us pray so that we may be sent out. Father, we thank you that you are an amazing God. You are God not only of your people, but of this world. And Lord, we pray, may you come quickly through us and even come quickly to redeem us. So Lord, send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit. Send us out in the power of your love to live and work and to witness of your greatness to all the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.